In there. Amen. Boy, it's a pretty sight. Pretty sight. And if you don't have one, we got one on the back of the pew, but you need to bring your own. The one that you read out of every night. Amen. You do read out of your Bible every night, don't you? I thought you did. All right. Take your Bible then and turn to Hosea. Hosea chapter 13. Hosea chapter 13. And I want you to hold your place there and then turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Hosea 13 and Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Hosea chapter 13 and verse number 9 first. Notice what it says. The Bible says, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. Now look over there in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse number 16. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse number 16. Then we'll turn back to Hosea 13. Be not righteous over much, neither make thyself over wise. He asked this question, why shouldest thou destroy thyself? I want you to notice that God says, Israel, destroy thyself. And then Solomon, the wisest man that ever walked the face of the earth outside the Lord Jesus Christ, asked you a question, why should you destroy yourself? Brother Russell, would you pray for the message?
Dear Lord Jesus Christ, I want to thank you, dear Lord, for the day you've given me, yes. Dear Lord. I want to thank you for the opportunity to come out here. Dear Lord, I pray right now if there be any kind of unclean spirit, any anything hindering this service, Lord, I pray that you rebuke it. I pray that you wash this building. I pray that you wash the dentist in the precious blood of Jesus Christ, Lord. I pray you have your perfect will in this message. I pray that you give Brother Dennis the words there to preach. I pray you give him power and authority to stand behind that pulpit to preach it, dear Lord. And I pray that you give the one here in his hearing it, dear Lord. I pray that you give him an open ear and a receiving heart, dear Lord. And I pray if there be anything on your mind thinking about what to do afterwards,
you can
get under their minds so you can hear this message.
Amen. Lord. Help us, Lord God.
Help us in a mighty special way to get this message. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated this morning. I want you to understand, first of all, this morning that the book of Hosea describes the rebellion and consequently the captivity of Israel or the 10 northern tribes by the Assyrians. And when you get to the next to the last chapter of the book here in Hosea chapter 13, that's where we read our text where the Lord says, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. And what he is saying to the nation of Israel is he's saying this. He's saying, you put your own self in this captivity. Your rebellion and sin against me is the reason that captivity is for you. Now, when you go to Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse number 16, then the question is asked, why shouldest thou destroy thyself? And I believe that's a pretty good question that we ought to ask our country, and we ought to ask our church, we ought to ask ourselves. I want to tell you something this morning. Our country is like Israel was back during this time. Our country has destroyed itself from within. It's not China, it's not North Korea, it's not the Muslims. They are not the reason why this country is in the shape that it's in. Let me tell you something this morning. God can protect us from nuclear war. God can protect us from missiles. But who's going to protect us from God? A church always destroys itself. The trouble always comes from within. And the devil cannot do one thing to the church unless that church yields to him. We destroy our homes. We choose what comes in and goes on in our house. And if you don't, there's something wrong with you. Your three-year-old ought not choose what goes on. You ought to, Mama and Daddy. A Christian destroys himself. The world, the flesh, and the devil only does to a Christian what that Christian allows them to do. As we say in the world, we have a common saying out in the world, we shoot ourselves in the foot. We self-destruct. And that's why that great prophet Hosea, through the Lord is saying, O Israel, you have destroyed your own self. You did it to yourself. I can't speak for nobody here this morning, all right? I can't speak for you. Maybe everybody's just perfect here, you know. But I know for me, I'm just saying, Brother Dennis here, you can assess your own self. I just know for Brother Dennis that I've done more to destroy my health, my testimony, and my walk with the Lord than anybody or anything, including the devil, ever has. We sabotage our own selves. We can only blame ourselves. And that's why the wisest man ever lived outside of Jesus Christ asked this question. We read it, Ecclesiastes 17:16. Why shouldest thou destroy thyself? That's a pretty good question. Why do we? Why would we? Why are we destroying ourselves? The blame game started back in the Garden of Eden. You know, it's that serpent. It's that woman you gave me. No, it's you. Your problem is you. You have destroyed yourself. You have put yourself in the position you're in this morning. We've done it to ourselves. There's no one to blame. I'm so sick and tired of these talk shows. I ain't watched them in years. Bless God, you ought not watch them. The Montel Williams and Oprah Winfrey and who else is on? I don't know and don't even care. It's a prevalent, every time you know what the lineup's going to be, somebody's on there and blaming some company or their parents or somebody else about some kind of problem they have. There comes a time in every man and every woman's life that you've got to stand up no matter how you were raised or what you went through or how you were mistreated and take responsibility for your own actions. Nobody in here had a perfect raising. Nobody in here had a perfect childhood. Nobody in here comes from a perfect situation. Some more ungodly and worse than others. I understand that. But I know people that was raised worse than anybody in here that's living for God. And the problem is, we've learned that. I'm telling you, especially this society, this day and time right now, it's everybody else's fault for the way that I am. And the problem and the struggle I have, the government ought to take care of it. And these people ought to take care of it. I've been done wrong and I'll just sue you. And the problem is nobody will stick their hand up in the air and say, the reason I'm in such a mess, the reason my life is destroyed is that I destroyed it. Nobody else did. I did it. I'm sure Israel wanted to look back and say, God, why are you allowing this captivity? Why are we going hungry and having to eat our own children and the Syrians coming in and being raping our women and killing us? It wasn't God's fault. God said, you did this. I warned you and warned you and warned you and warned you and warned you to turn back to me and you wouldn't do it. And that's why you're going through what you're going through. Now I want to look at this way that we destroy ourselves. This word destroy shows up in the Bible. I just want to see just a very few ways and let you get, me and you get an idea that the culprit is us. You don't have to look around and try to find out who's doing this to me. This thing we say out in the world, the devil made me do it. Don't blame the devil for your wickedness. You do it because you choose to do it. The reason you folks are sitting here today in the mess that you're in right now, some of you are in a big mess right now, is your fault. You did it to yourselves. I ain't going to get many amens this morning. I can't help that. It's still right where anybody amens. You think where you want to clam up on me and not amen me and act like you don't like this, I'll just preach just as hard, just as long as ever. You don't faze me a bit. I know what I'm saying is the truth. Let's look at a few places. Go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse number 18. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Verse number 18. First thing I want to say, which is very obvious, it was Israel's problem. It's our nation's problem. It's our problem. We destroy ourselves simply with sin. Look what it says there in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse number 18. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, 18. Wisdom is better than weapons of war. But one sinner, there's that word, destroyeth much good. Do you realize that according to our text, one sinner can do away with a lot of good? Boy, if you've ever been in a church, you realize that. You have about 89 or 90, or you know, if you have 100 people in a church, you might have 95 that love you and love God and want to do something. But you let one disgruntled person get in that church and start spewing that poison around, and it can mess up the whole thing. One sinner can destroy much good. Listen, sin kills, by the way. Romans 6:23 says that. The wages of sin is what, church? That's spiritual death and physical death. You load up on your alcohol. You do your drugs. You get out here on this highway and go up and down at 95 and 100 miles an hour, and you see what happens. It does. So listen, sin will destroy you physically. Sin will destroy you financially. Sin will destroy you emotionally. Sin will destroy you mentally. Sin will destroy you socially. Sin will destroy you spiritually. But just all kind of examples of it. You're talking about the physical. Obesity. And poor eating habits. I've had some health problems, and I tell you just about, not all of them, but majority of my health problems that I've had were because I ate the wrong food and I'm heavy. And it's not the government and it's not somebody else, and they ought not be putting chemicals in the food. Hey, you ain't got to eat it. What's the first clue that you don't need to go to McDonald's 3 times a day every day? Oh, it's that food, that McDonald's food. Listen, you ain't got to eat McDonald's food. But we do it to ourselves. And then we want to sue McDonald's. It ain't Ronald's fault. It's our fault. America's fatter than it's ever been. You look at me, I may be fat right now, but when I was a teenager and young and a young man, I wasn't. I was in shape. We got to watch that. We're killing ourselves. Liquor. United States is full of drunks. Do you know about half of every accident that takes place in the United States, either one or both vehicles involve liquor or a liquor bottle in it? I think that if you get out on the road and you're drunk and you run into an innocent person and you kill them, they ought to kill you. They ought to put a bullet right between your eyes. That's exactly right. Some old drunk driving down the road, kill some innocent mama, some innocent child, they ought to kill you. Amen. We do it to ourselves. Hey, listen. And you can get. I've got asthma. I don't smoke. Some of you get COPD. You don't smoke, but you're killing yourself smoking. Don't blame them. And I've heard them say, oh, you know, they're taking these cigarettes and they're putting this stuff in there that makes you addicted to it. They might be doing it, but you're the one sucking on them. You're killing your... Listen, it ain't everybody else. We're doing a good job to ourselves. When I got diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, I didn't raise my fist up in there and say, God, I'm your servant. Why would you do this to me? You ride the train of sin, you got to pay the fare, brother. I should have thought about that 20 years ago, eating all them Debbie cakes and drinking them Coca-Colas. It's nobody's fault but mine. You can amen that. That ain't going to bother me. No temperance financially. Just if you want some. We talk about this Sunday school. Everybody I know of, basically, 9 out of every 10 of them is 25 and under. They think if they want it, they ought to get it right now. And if they ain't got money to do it, just max out your credit cards. It don't matter if you pay your bills. Nobody cares about paying their bills anymore. Nobody cares about paying their bills on time anymore. Just file bankruptcy. Just lose it all and start all over again. You're doing it to yourself. Let me tell you something. You don't deserve the truck that Papaw has. You don't deserve the hot house that Papaw has. Papaw's 65 or 70 years old. He's worked all his life. Why don't you get out there and try it? How am I doing, Brother Russell? Thank you. Bitterness, envy, jealousy. You know what that stuff leads to? Depression, anxiety, isolation of oneself. I'm telling you, sin has just about finished off this country. I mean, it's just about flattened us out. It's our schools and our government and our homes and our churches destroyed by sin. And a particular sin I'm going to address this morning. Sexual sin. Take your Bible and turn over to Proverbs chapter 6. We have been affected in this church by sexual sin, in our families, in our communities. I'm going to tell you, I don't give a rip what the liberal preachers preach. I don't care what the folks at school that don't want the Guineans to come in and pass out scriptures, but it's all right to pass out condoms. I don't care what that bunch says. Listen to me. Everybody look at me. Sex is only right between a man and a woman that's married, and any other sex outside of that is wicked and it's wrong, and that Bible says it's wrong, and I don't give a rip what this country says or what any textbook says or what your mom and daddy says or anybody else says. I'm going with this King James Bible. Amen. I'm going to preach against it. It's still wrong. Amen. Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 32. But Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 32, notice what it says. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. You sure do. He that doeth it what? There's that word, church. Destroyeth what? His own soul. Now here's something don't nobody ever read to you. Verse number 33. A wound and a dishonor shall he give, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. Now I want you to listen to me. Hey, something about when you commit adultery, you can get forgiveness of it, and God will forgive you of it, you can get back in fellowship with Him. But according to this Bible, there's something that you get that once you commit adultery, you can get forgiveness, you can get restoration, you can be saved, or you can get right with God. I'm not saying that, but there's some kind of reproach and stain that you get on you that you don't get off till you die. Because you're a fornicator. It's still wrong to shack up. It's still wrong to do it. And if I get proof of anybody in this church doing it, you are not a member of this church till you get it right. I don't care who likes that. You say that's old fashioned. That's the way they did it for hundreds and hundreds of years. It's just in the last 40 or 50 years, people turn their back on God. They'll just let folks sleep around and shack up in the congregation. Nobody ever say anything about it. There's no preacher's going to say something about it. Adultery destroys marriages, it destroys children, it destroys the church, it destroys your testimony. Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 1. Proverbs. We're going to look at a few scriptures today. We ain't going to be no longer than usual, but we're going to look at the Bible. I hope that don't bother you. If it does, I really don't care. There's something wrong with you. That's like going to the buffet and not wanting to eat. Coming to church and not wanting to flip through your Bible. I've never understood that complaint. Well, we had to turn to too much Bible. What did you come here for? To just make an appearance? You can stay at the house then. I didn't come here to make an appearance. I came here to find out what God says this morning. Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 1. Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed. And that without remedy. Number 2, we destroy ourselves with stubborn pride. I actually was at a funeral. I believe Brother Steve was at this funeral, where this text was preached at a dear friend of mine's funeral. The pastor preached this text at his funeral because this fella was a Christian and he went to heaven, but he refused. He had diabetes, he had heart problems, he was a huge man, and he refused. He smoked like a chimney, and he said, I'm not going to do anything about it. I don't care. I don't care if I get any. I heard this fellow say this. I don't care if I have any rewards. I just want to go to heaven. I don't care about that. And he kept, and everybody would talk to him, you know, try to be good to him. And he kept smoking, and he kept eating and drinking and just carrying on. And I don't even know if he was 40 years old when he died. And that was the text that the brother preached at his funeral. And I want you to notice what it says. It says, suddenly destroyed, out of nowhere, just like that. And notice what else it says, without remedy. You know what that means? When it happens, there ain't one thing you can do to stop it. Israel was full of pride. They refused to admit they're wrong. They refused to change. One of my favorite stories. I've seen it as a movie. I read it as a story. I've seen it as a play. I went to the Shakespeare Festival and watched it as a play. It's A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. I like that. I don't know why. I just like it. And in this thing, that's where Ebenezer Scrooge is in there. And I don't know which one it is. If you've seen it, you're familiar with it. Where the ghost of Christmas past and the ghost of Christmas present and the ghost of Christmas future shows up. I don't know which one of it is, but one of them shows up and they're trying to talk to old Scrooge about the way he's been. And Scrooge says this to one of them. He says, but I'm too old to change. I hear people say that. Preacher, this is the way I've been all my life, and I'm too old to change now, and I'm going to go to the grave like that. Hey, help yourself. You go on right to the grave and go straight to hell. Just die in your sins and burn up. Burn for eternity. If you're so stupid to say something like that. You are not too old to change. You're too stubborn to change. And it's an old, gray-haired fool that refuses to keep learning. Do not pride yourself in your stubbornness. That's nothing to be proud about. I've heard folks say that. Well, I'm pretty stubborn. When I make my mind up, I make it up. Oh, and you think that's something good to brag about, do you? That's going to destroy you. You better stop refusing God's reproof. We are destroying ourselves with stubborn pride. Proverbs 13:20. Everybody still with me?
Amen.
Amen. All right, we'll see. Proverbs 13:20. Proverbs 13:20. Notice this verse. Proverbs 13:20 says this. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of what? Fools shall be. We destroy ourselves by the company we keep. 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. You young people especially need to understand this. Listen, when you hang around folks that got bad habits and bad actions and bad words and a bad attitude, that's going to rub off on you. And it'll destroy you. Israel married into these pagan Gentiles and they began worshiping false gods. Because they were not supposed to keep company with them. 2 Corinthians 6:14. This is what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Verse 17. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. You need to get away from that ungodly crowd that's going to lead you wrong. Because they're going to do it. You're not going to stay strong around them. You're deceived. Listen, you're deceived if you think you are. That's what 1 Corinthians 15:33 says. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. If you don't think evil communications corrupts good manners, then you're deceived. You're deceived. You know, I've seen many a good teenager and young person that started out good for the Lord. I thought they were going to do something for God, grow up and have a good life and get with the wrong crew. Any of you know a good teenager that got destroyed like that? Just got in with the wrong bunch. Or was fine and went off to secular college and listened to a professor educated beyond their intelligence telling them there's no God. And they come back an atheist. That stuff happens all the time. And we do it to ourselves because the Bible says, find out good Christian people. Find out people that are like you and believe what you believe and gravitate toward them. Hang around with them. But no, we know better than the Bible. We know better than God. I can handle it. It ain't going to rub off on me. It ain't going to change my mind. No, you know more than the Bible. The Bible says it will. It will destroy you. One more point I wanted to look at. Turn back to Hosea. Hosea 14. Right after the book of Daniel is Hosea. I'm sorry, I meant Hosea 4. Please excuse me for that. Hosea 4 and verse number 6. Hosea chapter 4 and verse number 6. We destroy ourselves because we don't have a knowledge of God's Word. And that's what Hosea chapter 4, verse number 6 says. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. I'm going to tell you something right now. You can go off to college and get any kind of education you want to. Our young folks are graduating from college educated but ignorant of God's Word. And I ain't helping them a bit. But I want you to read that Israel's lack of knowledge of God's Word was a result of Israel's rejection of that knowledge. Look there in verse number 6 again. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Why? Because thou hast rejected knowledge. They had the chance. They had the Word of God. They destroyed themselves because they themselves chose to reject what God told them to do. And I tell you why some of you don't have a knowledge of God. I'm not trying to be ugly to you. I'm trying to help you this morning because you won't come to church like you're supposed to. You don't come to Sunday school where we teach the Bible. You don't come on Sunday night where I teach the Bible. On Wednesday night where I teach the Bible. Some of you will go home today and you won't pick up your Bible no more until next Sunday. You won't avail yourself to the truth God has for you. You are willingly ignorant. And the Bible says that's destroying you. It's destroying me. The United States, listen, the United States, it doesn't know and it doesn't care what God says about abortion.
He doesn't care what the Bible says about supposedly gay rights and sodomites marrying. No prayer in school. No Guinean putting scriptures in schools. The United States doesn't care what the Bible says about drunkenness, about the love of money. Doesn't care what the Bible says when they legalize pornography. The United States doesn't care what the Bible says about a hell and about heaven and about judgment and about salvation. And that's why this country is finished. We're in trouble. We're in trouble. Because the one book we should have been educated in, and the one book we should adhere to, and the one book that we should do what it says, we couldn't do what it says if we wanted to because we don't know what it says. And God says, you destroyed yourself. He said, my people. God says, my people have destroyed themselves for lack of knowledge. Now, in conclusion, I want you to go back where we began, Hosea 13. I do not want to end so negatively. I want some good news. Do you want some good news? All right, I'm going to give you some good news in conclusion. We just focused on the first part of that verse. Now I want to focus on the last part. Hosea chapter 13, verse number 9. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. That's a negative. But, boy, I like all those buts in the Bible. But in me, talking about God, God's saying this, in me is thine help. God, you know what God's saying? He may be saying to a person here. He may be talking to a marriage here. He may be talking to this church. He could be speaking to this country. He could be speaking to whoever. He could say, hey, you did it to yourself. You've rejected me. You've lived in stubborn pride. You've lived in sin. You've done it your way. But I'm telling you, there's help in me this morning. Now, how do you get that help? I'm glad you asked that. Two things. Number one, you got to stop blaming others. You did it to yourself. Everybody look up here at me. I'm close. I'm getting ready to close this thing. Listen, folks, it's not your spouse. It's not your children. It's not your neighbor. It's not your boss. It's not the church. It's not the pastor. It's not the Democrats. Not the Republicans. It's not Obama. It's not society. It's not the government. It's you. Until you come to that conclusion, you can't get no help. You're sitting here destroyed, whether it be physically, financially, emotionally, spiritually, socially. However, you've done it to yourself. Now, number two, seek God's forgiveness. Confess it to Him. Seek God's forgiveness and seek God's help. Confess and repent. And put your pistol away. You know that pistol where you keep shooting yourself in the foot? Put your pistol up. That pistol of sin this morning, take that pistol of sin and put it back in the gun cabinet. Take that pistol of pride. You don't cock that thing. You unload it and put it back in the gun cabinet. Take that pistol of bad company. Put it up. Take that pistol of ignorance of God's word. Put it up. Ask God to forgive you. Ask God to help you. And say, God, with your help, I don't want to ever, ever be responsible for destroying myself, someone else, ever, ever again. I am my worst enemy. I am doing it to myself. But God, with you as help this morning, and I'm coming to you in faith for help over my self-destruction. Every head bowed and eye closed this morning.